souls come and buy without money. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This wonderful, wonderful salvation that we enjoy didn't come at any cost to us at all. But it came as a great price from our Lord. The very jewel of heaven, the sun that never sets in heaven, went out one day in heaven. He stepped into the dark world, our world, in a world in which we live. A world that had entrapped us, enslaved us, and put us as slaves to sin. But aren't you glad that he came and broke the chains of sin?
Hallelujah.
Amen. For you and I, that we might be free.
Amen.
I want you to turn to chapter 4 in the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4, the book of Ephesians. Here to praise their leader and extend his work on earth. Think about that. Festivities are marked by unprecedented evil and blasphemy, with blood sacrifices and hedonistic practices playing prominent parts. Too far, to a great extent, Christian families participate in the same thing. I'm talking about Christian families participate in some of the same things. Think about it. With children and parents too, dressing up as demons, ghosts, skeletons, wizards, etc. I mean, how would we want to do that? The Bible says that Satan, 1 Peter 5:8, if you want the reference, 1 Peter 5:8, for Satan is walking about in the earth seeking whom he may devour. Satan began and exposed his strategy back in the Garden of Eden. And he does have a strategy. Satan does. The thing that bothers me is that there's so many of us that are saved that don't have a strategy of how to defeat him. How to live the Christian life as it should be lived without helping Satan in his cause. He is known as the God of this world. You'll find that in your Bible. He's known as the God of this world. And Halloween has been set aside as a day for him. It wasn't set aside in the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible that gives any credence to Halloween. None. It's a day that Satan has conjured up in order to get people to do and represent him, and sometimes without even realizing that they're doing it. I don't think any Christian that has knowledge of what this day is all about would want to glorify Satan by putting their children in costumes that represent what he represents in the world. And everything that Satan represents in this world is not good, it's unholy, and it's against God. And when Christian families, even adults, dress themselves up in this evil costumes and whatever, I can only imagine how Satan must sit back and smile at how his strategy is at work yet today in the hearts and lives of people that are Christian. Think about too far a great extent Christian families participate in these things, with children and parents dressing in those things. We can only surmise how much pleasure Satan receives from this deception. Satan, we must remember, is an adversary. He is not a friend. He's our enemy. Amen?
Amen.
Satan is not a friend to us. Satan is our enemy. And we need to learn and become aware of his devices. There's no reason that we should be caught unawares. God has given us a Bible. Let me say to you, parents, what you need to celebrate with your children are things that glorify God and not Satan. Things that represent the Lord and not the devil. Things that represent heaven and not the earth. I want to tell you, this humanistic viewpoint has reached into our communities and reached into our homes, and we've become subject to those things that Satan is doing without even thinking about it, because if we're not careful, part of our brain is so humanistic that whatever the world does, we see all of this advertisement on TV. You go into the stores, you go into any of the stores, and you see all of this stuff around you. There's these costumes of skeletons, these costumes of witches, and I can see some parents look at those things and say, oh, that would look good on my child. No skeleton ever should look good on a Christian child. No satanic witch ought to look good on a Christian child. I'm telling you, parents, we need to teach our children to glorify God. Teach them about what Halloween is all about. Satan has conjured all of this stuff up. As I said a few moments ago, 1 Peter 5:8 is still as real today as it was when it was put in the Bible, about Satan being an adversary, and he's going about seeking whom he may devour. He may have snuck into your house. He may have got his thoughts put in your mind. I'm telling you, he cannot possess you, but he can put thoughts in your mind. Isn't it rather interesting that this time of year, I mean, right now, on your television, you sit down and you, I hope you're guarded about what you watch on television. But what they do in these commercials, they'll come on there with some kind of warlocks, some kind of evil stuff. They're going to show these evil movies. They even have a television program now called Lucifer. Lucifer. I read some time ago, I believe it was in the Sword of the Lord paper, where out in California, they're now, you know, like we have good news in our school, they're having good news for Satan in some of the schools out in the western part of America. You say, well, that won't ever happen here. There's things happening here that I never thought I'd ever see, and they're happening now. And, you know, we've got people that's come into our country that raise up and say, we want equal rights. Whatever you do, we want to have the right to do. And the thing of it is, we're giving them that place. And sometimes our children get caught up in that stuff. I'll tell you, parents, we'd better be careful what we do with our children, because they're going to remember and they may get attached to it. In 2 Corinthians 11, 14, and no marvel, for Satan is transformed into an angel of light. You know, it's rather interesting today. I've said this for years, that Satan has a counterfeit for everything that God does. And again, Satan has a real strategy. I'm not here to magnify him. I'm here to help you to defend yourself against him. The Bible teaches us there that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He will come to you as a good person. Right. He'll come to you as a good thing. He'll put good ideas in your head. But I want you to listen to me and remember this, that not everything that's good is of God. You understand that? Not everything that is good is of God. And so we need to learn to defend ourselves against the satanic attacks that are coming against us. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Isn't it amazing that people can, Satan can use people as his instruments to get done what he wants done. He uses people too, just like God uses people. I've had people say to me this, listen to me. Listen to what this preacher's going to tell you now. I have had people right here in Packlet say, I'm not going to go to that church because of the hypocrites there. If we're one thing here and something else out there, if you come in here and teach a Sunday school class, if you come in the church and sing in the choir, if you come in the church and sit here as a Christian, and then you go out into the community, and my dear friend, you act like a lost person, dress like a lost person, look like a lost person, cuss like a lost person. It ought never be. What we are in here is what we ought to be out there. Amen. We're not just to let our light shine in the church house. We come into the church house to get our batteries charged so we can go out into our community and be a light for Jesus.
Amen.
That's what we're to be. And we need to teach our children that. And so we're to resist the devil, steadfast in the faith, according to 1 Peter 5 and 9 that follows that verse where he's an adversary. Resist the devil, the Bible says in James 4, 7, and he will flee from you. We need to learn how to stand up to him and say no. Are you listening? We need to learn to stand up to him and do what Jesus did. Now, this is going to entail some real Christian living. It's going to entail us down on our knees having the power of God on us. It's going to entail memorizing some scriptures, getting the Word of God in our mind. You remember when Jesus went into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, and the Bible says he was tempted of the devil there. Three things. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There's the three tricks that Satan has in his bag. If he can't get you through the flesh, he'll try to get you through the world. He'll try to give you something to get you on his side. But here's what Jesus did. When Satan came to him first and said, if... That's a first-class condition. He knew who Jesus was. He absolutely knew who he was. Sure he did. And he said, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. He knew that after 40 days that Jesus in his human body would be hungry. Brother Bobby, I've tried fasting 2 or 3 days, and I get so hungry that I have to quit fasting because I want to eat. I'm that weak. I can't go a long time. Imagine, Jesus went 40 days without food. 40 days. And then Satan comes to him and says, if you be the Son of God, command these stones. You can turn them into bread. You can have something to eat. But I just love the way Jesus responded to him. Jesus said this, as it is written. Aren't you glad that you have a Bible? I'm glad that I have a Bible that teaches me how to defend myself against Satan. I'm glad that I have a Bible that teaches me how to walk in the world. I'm glad I have a Bible that teaches me how to treat my wife. It teaches me how to do my children. It teaches me how to be the person that I need to be here. That's what the Bible does. And Jesus said this, as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So Satan takes him again up into a high mountain. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says this to him, all of this can be yours if you'll fall down and worship me. Boy, the world gets a lot of people. A lot of people have been enslaved. A lot of Christians have been caught into this trap of, oh, I'll give you a good job. I'll give you a good job. You just have to work on Sundays. Keep you out of the house of God. Keep you from hearing the Bible. Keep you from hearing preaching. Just give you a good job. Oh, but preacher, you know I got to work. Yeah. But did you ever think about asking God to give you a job that would honor him? Listen, I don't think God's in it when you get a job that keeps you out of church. I don't believe God's in it. You can get angry at me if you will, but you'll have to repent before the sun goes down. I'm just telling you, God will never tell you to do something that's against his word. He won't do it. And he said we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together in the house of the Lord as the manner of some is. Now, Sunday is a day that God set apart for worship. Sunday morning, Sunday night, God met with Adam and Eve in the garden in those times. He established this. Now, Wednesday night is something that man has created, and that was created somewhere back during World War II when we were at war and people began to come together in the middle of the week to pray for our servicemen. And it's carried on now. Now, I love Wednesday night. I love the time. I love we have such freedom to teach on Wednesday night and be a blessing. But I'll tell you, if there's ever a service that you have to miss, it ought to be Wednesday night and not Sunday. Come together with God's people to worship. Listen, he paid for us. He bought us. Amen. We're not our own. We belong to him. Amen. And so Satan takes Jesus up there and he says, all of this can be yours if you fall down and worship me. Jesus said again, as it is written. You understand what Jesus is doing? His defense is the word of God. He takes the word of God to defend himself. He said, as it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then Satan takes him up to a high pinnacle and said, jump off. Do something spectacular. Get involved in some spectacular sport. Over the years, I've come to the place that I stand stunned sometimes at how parents bring their children up. Listen, how you raise your children is your business, but it's my business to tell you what's right and what's wrong. And I tell you, when you take your children out of church and you teach them that sports are more important than church, you're teaching your children something that should never be taught. I want to tell you, nothing in this world ought to supersede your going to the house of God and your relationship to him and being what God wants you to be. You're teaching your children that the world and what's out there in the world is more important than the things of God. And then they grow up, get out of church, and wonder why you can't get them to church. And you wonder why you still go. And then you go and talk to your children about going, oh, I don't want to go to church. I want to be out here in the world. I want to pursue this. I want to pursue that. And you lose your children to Satan's strategy. Sure, I'm right. I've seen it happen down through the years. You say, well, preacher, I got my children involved in sports, and if they don't go at a certain time, if they don't go on a Sunday, then they won't let them play. I wouldn't want my boy or my girl out there playing on Sunday when they ought to be in church praying. We raised a family. Jackie, we never did let you go out there on a Sunday and do sports. Did we? No. Debbie, you were involved in things in school. We never let you be in the 4-H and things in Dodge Church, did we? We tried to teach our children that going to church was being obedient to God, and God will bless you, and He will help you. He will honor you if you will learn to honor Him. And we tried to teach our children to honor God by being faithful to the house of God. And they've grown up teaching their children to be faithful in the house of God, because they've come to understand that God really meant what He said. He'll really bless you. Warning. He'll really bless you. So Satan will try to give you something that's really not his. I'm telling you, the devil does not have anything of his own to give away. He usurps himself over things, and he claims things because he's the God of this world, Brother Tommy. And he tries to give people something that is not his. Now, I'll tell you how to get what God wants you to have. And it comes through the Scripture. He said in Matthew 6:33, and every one of you ought to remember this, write it down, memorize it, get it in your mind, repeat it every day. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. Brother Tommy, you can testify to that, can't you?
Yes, sir.
I remember you telling me when you got saved. Before you got saved, it was just hit and miss, here and there, whatever. But since you've been saved, you've been trying to exercise your faith in Matthew 6:33. Myra, I've heard you testify the fact that how there was a time when you lived out there in the world. But when the Lord saved you and got you where He wanted you to be, exercising your faith in God, being faithful to Him, learn to trust Him, exercise your faith in Matthew 6:33. Does it work?
Yes,
sir. Sure it works.
Amen.
I can call out any number of people in our church that has lived by that principle. Miss Jan, you and Wayne's live by that principle. You know, I stand sometime amazed at how much you and Wayne give to this church. Really. Wayne doesn't work. Jan doesn't work. Wayne works, driving an ice truck. Some of the givingest people we got in our church. And you know why that is? Because they live by that principle of Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. They want God to be honored. They want God to be pleased with their life. And God's blessing them. I want to be there at the judgment seat of Christ when some of you come by the judgment seat of Christ, just see how God's going to give you them trophies. Give you those eternal riches. Gives you that well done. Brother Thomas, it's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all when we get when we get to heaven to hear Him say, well done. Oh, I'd love to preach on that a while. But I'm trying to tell you tonight to beware of Satan and his devices. Satan is acknowledged to be the prince of this world in John 14:13. But listen to this. His doom is sure. Yeah, his doom is sure. I've read the back of this book. I love that song, I'm on the winning side. Most of the stuff that we suffer here, we bring it on ourselves because we forget or we maybe don't forget, but we don't really exercise our faith in God, and we get involved in things we shouldn't get involved in, say things, do things. And so the God of peace shall bruise Satan under his feet shortly. Shortly. I like to remind Satan of that every now and then. I don't talk to him often. I don't like talking to him. And I don't know that I've ever been face to face with him. I've been face to face with some of his high generals. And I'm sure they've told him that that preacher down there said he's looking forward to your doom. I have prayed hard for this meeting tonight. I've looked for Satan to try to do something to me to keep me from coming and preaching, exposing his strategy to you. He don't like it at all. I was in my car. I had to drive over to that nursing home. I'm telling you, I drove very carefully. I watched every move. I was afraid Satan might take somebody that is wicked and put it in their heart, just turn their steering wheel and turn into my car and try to get rid of me. He don't like preachers exposing him to their congregation. He just don't like that. Now, we're coming in just a few weeks to our missions conference. And I'm telling you, he already has a strategy to try to keep some of you away from missions conference. He don't want you to get excited about missions. He don't want you to get excited about faith promise. He don't want you to be excited about serving on the mission body. I have asked all this month of October for couples to come forward and volunteer to work on the missions body. I've had three couples to come. I still need one. Couples in this church, right with God, wanting to serve God, ought to be eager to find a place to where they can, that God can get the most out of their lives. And there's a good place for God to use you. It's a good place for you to see firsthand. Some of you have been on the mission body, and I don't know if it was a burden to you, if it was a drag on you or not, but you hadn't wanted to be on it again since. Why not? Sometimes serving God causes us to have to do some labor, pray, be responsible. Sometimes those things come. And, if I wanted to avoid any difficulties, any problems, any hardships, I wouldn't be preaching. It's a hard place. But glory to God, it's the best place in my life. He'll be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. I love to remind him of that. It's not me that's going to be cast into the fire, but it's him. Satan, that old serpent, the devil, that has given every one of us a heartache, given us a headache. He's caused the trouble in our life. He's responsible for us being what we were. I started to say what we are, but praise God, we're not what we were. He's not responsible for us being what we are now, but he is responsible for us being what we were. And I wouldn't dare want to put on a screen the wickedness and the evil that was in my life before I met Jesus, or even since I met him. But I'm glad, praise God, Jesus has taken all of that away. And Satan's going to be cast into that lake of brimstone and fire and shall be tormented. I've never taken any pleasure in any man that's ever been lost, that's died and went to hell. I've never taken any pleasure in that at all. But I take pleasure in this, that Satan is going to be cast into that lake of fire and brimstone. And my dear friend, listen, he'll be tormented. Hallelujah. He's tormented me enough. But his torment to me has been limited. But I'll tell you, in that lake of fire and brimstone that God is going to, it's God going to cast him in there, and he's going to be tormented forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. He shall be tormented forever. Until the realization of that ultimate victory is gained, One mission on earth is to turn people from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of God. Boy, that's what God has done in my life. Accordingly, let us strive to see that His harmful influence is thwarted on this, His special day. Halloween is His special day. Are you listening to me? That's His special day. I thought about having a church service on that day. Just come have a good church service on that day.
Amen.
That's on the 31st. That's on Monday. I wonder if it'd have anybody to come. We come just have a good worship on that evening. While the neglectful Christians have their children out here celebrating Satan's day. Praise God, I'd rather go to Walmart and buy them a bag of candy and give it to them. Amen. Tell them Jesus is good. Amen. This is Satan's day. We ain't gonna celebrate Satan's day.
Amen.
The children of each community need protection from the evil influences boldly swarming that night. It's dangerous for your children to be there. It's dangerous for your children to get candy from some people. I have heard of needles been stuck, razor blades been put in stuff. What if your child got a hold of one of them and swallowed a razor blade? Cut their stomach open, they died on your way to the hospital. Better be careful. It has happened. May we ourselves not fall prey to the dark deception, especially in the lives of our children. I want us to focus their attention on the light instead. It may be that you have been unaware of the significance of this day. It may be. Satan has kept us in the dark so long about this. But after this brief message, I'd hope that you as parents of young children would consider what's at stake. Don't get caught up in Satan's Halloween. If you're going to do something, do a harvest day. Something that will you can glorify God in. Some churches, that's what they do. They do a harvest day and invite children to come in without all of that stuff. I'm absolutely stunned at the influence that Harry Potter has had on our children, on our families. That's of Satan too. Keep your children away from that dark stuff.
Amen.
God gave you those sons and those daughters, and He gave you a way to protect them. Put your arms around them. Teach them about Jesus. Teach them to walk in the light. Warn them of the dangers out there that the world is so pulled into. You know, that woman that wrote those books about Harry Potter, she's got to be very wicked and evil. I'd love to see her get saved. But then think of all of the memories that she'd have of the harm that she's done in families that let their children participate in those warlock stuff. Let's stand to our feet. I hope you'll give thought to what's been said tonight. I didn't come with any anger in my heart to jump on anybody, throw no stones at anybody. I came to get this off of my heart because the Lord told me to do this. And I promised Him I'd do what He told me to do. So I've unloaded my wagon and I put the mail out, and if it's got in your mailbox, you're responsible for it. I'm just a mailman. That's all I am. I'm a messenger, a mailman. If God put the mail in your box, then you're responsible for it, what you do with it. Brother Jackie, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?